Blog Talk Radio.
Hakeem, Jay Jers, Dream Team, Big Chips. Lyrically gifted, I keep your mind twisted. Spoken word poetry, I keep your heart lifted. Universe abound, I travel across the stars. Landed on Earth, I travel that far. Back in existence, since my time of Earth. My soul is timeless, I know my true worth. Open up a book, I read it in Lord. Take it off the shelf, study some more. Summonize the facts, kick it on the track. Vibrate wisdom, count to a stack. Lesson now learned, you got money to burn. Take it to the bank, it's the wealth you earn. Treat it to the poor and live in your soul. Strive in life if you want much more. Push down the gym, pick up the pen. Breathe from the pen, 5 plus 10.
United we stand, divided we fall. If we could come together, we could go to Mars. From the land of the king, we could conquer all. But without education, we ain't going that far. United we stand, divided we fall. If we could come together, we could go to Mars. From the land of the king, we could conquer all. But without education, we ain't going that far.
My third eye's awoken, I see the skies open. Knowledge of self, encourage words of focus. Youngin' in the game, but the world's so explosive. And I don't watch TV, the mess is so corrosive. Never answer to the brain, feels like I'm getting dumber. I see the Chinese go to school through the summer. Always think about the money, boy, flossing in the Hummer. And riding around with cash, trying to be the top gunner. Growing up broke, no daddy in sight. And mom complaining how the man ain't treating her right. Education be a ticket to take flight. Brother Malcolm told us before, all we gotta do is fight. If you wanna take back what we have from the start, it's gonna take dedication in the warrior's heart. Obama set the mark, and now we got a new standard. I'm hoping that this should've just spread like cancer.
United we stand, divided we fall. If we could come together, we could go to Mars. From the land of the king, we could conquer all. But without education, we ain't going that far. United we stand, divided we fall. If we could come together, we could go to Mars. From the land of the king, we could conquer all. But without education, we ain't going that far.
Michael Garvey said, united we stand. United we are the force, the unmovable block that travels across the universe. We are the unmovable force that represents the unified, divine motion of musical talent. I see you out there. I see you out there striving and struggling. I see you out there repping the block. I see you on the street corners, 22-inch rims, 26-inch rims. I see the candy paint jobs. I hear you out there. I hear the streets rocking, but what you gonna do, huh? Big Chips, it's about unity. We must unify and become one, huh? We must create and develop a unified industry, within and without. The murder myth. Sam Jones, Big Chips CEO, holla at your boy Hakeem J. Jerk.
Welcome to Youth Action Radio Network, the voice of today's youth, where we discuss real-life issues impacting kids in school. I'm your host for today, Hakeem Crampton, and today we will take a little twist on today's radio show. I'll be reading from Chapter 3 of my book, America's Pipeline to Prison, How Do We Save Our Kids from Incarceration? We're talking about the school-to-prison pipeline today because it seems to be one of the most imperilous noxious effects on our children today. I myself was a victim of what is called the school-to-prison pipeline and spent a considerable amount of time incarcerated. And in Chapter 3 of this book of mine called Pipeline, America's Pipeline to Prison, I discussed what exactly is the school-to-prison pipeline. How do we save our kids from incarceration? So I'm going to begin reading from this, and periodically I may stray from the text to expound upon some of the points I'm making and return back to it. And then I'll be taking live callers. If anyone has any comments, questions relative to what I'm reading, the discussion with the School to Prison Pipeline, you'll be able to call in at that time. I'll cue you in. The number is 646-787-8151. And once again, you're listening to Youth Action Radio Network, the voice of today's youth, where we discuss real-life issues impacting kids in school. Chapter 3, School to Prison Pipeline, How Do We Save Our Kids from Incarceration? The School to Prison Pipeline is identified as a real and intense system in which students find themselves routinely suspended, expelled, and oftentimes sent to alternative educational programs or schools. Kids who find themselves in this situation ultimately fall further behind in school, have juvenile contact, and end up in prison. Kids who begin missing days of class due to suspensions fall behind in grade level proficiency, and as this progresses, these kids begin to develop behavior that is identified as punishable by incarceration. This is called the school to prison pipeline, where students end up not finishing school and instead find themselves in the criminal justice system. This phenomenon is affecting black males in specific at rates widely disproportionate from their white counterparts as well as black females. Students can be assessed as being along or trapped on the pipeline by evaluating the following factors: routine suspensions, missing 10 or more days of school a year, having only one parent in the household, having an identified learning disability, are living below poverty level, have behavioral issues in school, have had police contact as a juvenile, are receiving assistance or support or programming from the Department of Health and Human Services. Students who have these factors influencing their lives can be said to be at risk of being on this pipeline. Some of these factors are outside the control of these youths, such as being a recipient of DHS or Department of Health and Human Services, or having been diagnosed with a learning disability. So how do students get off this pipeline? Getting off the school to prison pipeline can be very difficult. Statistics demonstrate that 4 or 5 black males will have police contact in their lifetime, whether through actual arrest and incarceration or through probation and parole. It seems that black youth are, by sociological fate, born into the pipeline culture and are poised to become victims of this system. Education activists and social reformers list several keys to getting youth off the pipeline, such as the cessation of zero tolerance policies, providing solutions instead of routine suspensions, providing more long-term mentoring, providing literacy intervention starting in early childhood education, working with parents to bridge the gap in schools, identifying the layers of the pipeline in play at one schools. Each of these keys are rudimentary in providing a sustainable solution to getting kids off the pipeline. There are larger systems in place that have existed for over a century. Layers upon layers of policies and practices get created or added each year, making it more difficult to undress this problem. The first steps that must be taken involve forcing the courts and schools to accept the fact that arrest, prosecution, and sentencing of youth must be reformed along with the cessation of zero-tolerance practices and routine suspensions of kids for behavioral issues. That is the conclusion of Chapter 3. So I'm going to stray up just a little bit further to a section in Chapter 1. We're talking about sociological factors and closing the achievement gap. So I'm going to read a section out of Chapter 2 on closing the achievement gap. In terms of students that have average days absent from school during the course of their educational life, statistics identify that absences from days of school, whether by unexcused absence, tardy, suspension, or expulsion, directly affect students' education scores, and thereby grade levels are hindered, demonstrating that the root cause of underachievement in reading and writing and mathematics is absent days from routine classroom education. In a NAEP report, it showed that black students with no days missed in their previous month fared far better than other black students with either 1 or 2 days missed, or more so than students with 3 or more days missed. These statistics indicate that days missed from classroom instruction contributes directly to a student's falling behind academically. Here are some of the statistics. No days missed. 45% black students tested proficient. 44% of white students tested proficient. 45% of black students tested proficient. 1 to 2 days missed. 32% of black males tested proficient. 37% of white males tested proficient. 34% of Hispanic males tested proficient. 3 or more days missed. 19% of black males tested proficient. 23% of white males tested proficient. 22% of Hispanic males tested proficient. So what do these indicate? Let me stray away from the text briefly. Let me talk about this for a brief moment. What does these statistics indicate? It clearly indicates that one of the probably the most pivotal reason why kids are falling behind in school is because of absence from classroom instruction. That is a given. If you are not in classroom receiving instruction, that means you're missing information. So if one student comes to class today and gets the information, a student is absent, that student doesn't get the information. So therefore, the student is now one day ahead of the other student. That one day could translate into academic proficiency. It could translate into academic success. It could translate into graduation. How so? Because the more days that a student is in class, the more information is accumulated, the more toward that goal that student is reaching. If a student is missing days, the more days missed, then the less information that student is absorbing, the less classroom instruction that student is receiving. Therefore, that student is behind. So the statistics indicate that if a student misses one or two days, and this affects all across the board, not just white or black students, but it affects all across the board. So if students are missing no days, 45% of black students are testing proficient. But if a black student misses one to two days, then those statistics go down to 32%. But if they miss three or more days within that month, then their proficiency drops even further to 19%. So it's showing that classroom instruction time is tied directly into academic proficiency. How does that tie into the school-to-prison pipeline? It goes back to suspensions, expulsions, and absences from class. If we are consistent in suspending from excusing kids from classroom by sending them to out of the classroom to in-school suspension, et cetera, if we're consistent in doing that, then we're consistently keeping them behind because they're out of classroom, they're not receiving the instruction that they need toward their education, toward their graduation, and it's putting them further and further behind. So the correlation between absent days missed in classroom and the school-to-prison pipeline is as solid as it could ever be. If you stop suspending kids, stop sending kids out of classroom, kids will be more proficient, and if they test proficient, they're likely to graduate. What do the scores indicate? The scores indicate that kids who test not proficient by the fourth grade are the very students that don't graduate. They are the students that drop out. Now, that score, the statistics here that I have from the NAEP is that 75% of students that don't test proficient by the fourth grade drop out. Now, let's correlate that to who is incarcerated. When prisoners come in, they do an intake. The intake evaluates and assesses a number of different factors. One of them, the questions is education level. According to the Department of Corrections nationwide, across the board, 75% of prisoners come into prison are high school dropouts. So let's go back to that fourth grade proficiency statistic. 75% of black students that do not test proficient by the fourth grade drop out. Inside America's prisons, 75% of those that come into prison are dropouts from high school. The correlation between the school-to-prison pipeline is very clear. Now we have to go to the source of what's going on within the school system, the school environment. Why are our kids being absent from school? We know that some kids just aren't motivated, interested in school. Other kids come to school with interested to be there, but for some reason are slowly but surely pushed out of school. Most kids, kindergarten, preschool, first, second, third, fourth grade, kids that love school, they can't wait to get to school. They're racing to get to school, missing breakfast to get to school. Then there comes a point in time in which they stop having an interest in school. They stop being interested in the classroom coursework. They're not engaged. They're not turning in homework. Their behavior is not appropriate. They're being disciplined. A lot of different things start to happen within the school, and slowly but surely we see a large percentage of young children, a lot of them African-American, males and females, being disproportionately disciplined in school, disproportionately suspended in school, disproportionately expulsed from school. This disproportionality leads to ultimate dropout from high school and ultimate incarceration with juvenile and adult incarceration. You're listening to Youth Action Radio Network, the voice of today's youth, where we discuss real-life issues impacting kids in school. Today I've been discussing what is the school-to-prison pipeline, and I've been reading from my book, Chapter 3, America's Pipeline to Prison, and I am your host for today, Hakeem Crampton. So let's pick back up where we left off at, discussing the school-to-prison pipeline. I kind of don't like to use the word school-to-prison pipeline. I really like to use the word or the reference pipelines to prison, because it's not about the school-to-prison pipeline, really. It's really about what are those various pipelines that lead us to incarceration. It just so happens that the school happens to be a mid-focal point of the lives of the young adolescent children who are spending 6 hours a day, primarily up to 8 hours a day, in the academic field, in the school environment. And that is the place where, unfortunately, they are finding themselves on the wrong side of the educational spectrum, and they find themselves instead incarcerated, out of school, unemployed, struggling to make it. We have a lot of issues with our youth today as it deals directly with them being not in school and not getting an education. So let's look at the school-to-prison pipeline. What is it? It's a very real phenomenon of youth being pushed out of school through a lot of outdated, antiquated school policies, particularly zero-tolerance policies that schools are forced to implement. And that's another reason why I don't like to call it the school-to-prison pipeline per se, because a lot of schools are fighting against the school-to-prison pipeline. A lot of schools, a lot of principals, a lot of teachers, a lot of educators are actively involved in trying to put an end to this stagnant educational system, and are working from within. And however, they have state laws, federal laws that govern education. And thereby, they are restricting them from what they can do and what they can't do. But nevertheless, they are on the front lines with us, and we applaud them. And so we're not necessarily talking about them. And we welcome them to join us in this fight, and we welcome the rest of you that do not understand the broad implications of the school-to-prison pipeline. We welcome you to come sit down and learn more about this. So let's do a couple things here. Let's do some demographics and look at this again. All right, now let's look at the disparities in suspensions and expulsions. According to the U.S. Department of Education, status and trends in education of racial and ethnic groups are released as a document, NCES 2015-015. This is released from the U.S. Department of Education. 42.8% of suspended students annually were Black. 21.9% of suspended students annually were Hispanic. 15.6% of students suspended annually were white. And that's a huge gap. And the telling part of this gap is this. So you say, well, that's just a statistic. It says that 42% of Blacks were suspended, 15% of whites were suspended. The telling part is that the disparity is in the fact that there were just as many whites that received disciplinary for their actions as Blacks. However, 42% of Blacks were suspended, whereas only 15% of whites were suspended for the very same incidents. That's the telling part of it, and that's the disparity in the system. Let's look at a couple more. 12.8% of Black students were routinely expelled. 3.0% of Hispanic students were routinely expelled, compared to only 1% of white students routinely expelled. So that's saying that, on average, white students are not being suspended at the rate the Black students are, in spite of the fact that it's been reported in the same statistics that white students commit just as many disciplinary infractions as Black students, but Black students are suspended more, are expelled more for their behaviors in comparison to their white counterparts. Look at the dropout rate between 1997 and 2007. Hispanic dropout rate was 25%. Black dropout rate was 13%. White dropout rate was 8%. This is a telling part as well, and we talk about a disparity. There's a huge disparity. Only 8% of whites are dropping out, 13% of Blacks are dropping out, so almost twice the amount of Blacks are dropping out, whereas Blacks only represent 13%, 12% of the nation's population. So that 13% of Blacks is a huge number. And it goes to a lot of sociological factors. Goes also points to white privilege. More white kids are poised to go to school, to graduate, and to go to college, and to be employed at a rate disproportionate than Blacks. There's been a long history of the sustainability of college life, of the promotion of education in the white family life as compared to blacks. Remember, just relatively soon, blacks were just relatively freed. So this disproportionality is evident. So we're going to talk about some of the sociological factors. Let's talk about today's youth culture, the role of hip-hop and violence in American society. I'm going to read from chapter 2 of my book, America's Pipeline to Prison. In American society, violence has become a norm in the lives of youth and adults alike. Our entertainment culture, from television to music, all depict crime and violence at an alarming rate. According to the Journal of American Medical Association, 4 out of 10 children in the U.S. were exposed to violence in the past year. In this survey by JAMA, it is reported that 15% of respondents had been exposed to violence 6 or more times in the past year. So what role does hip-hop play in the lives of today's youth? Hip-hop has been described as a musical rendition of violence and drugs through songs, videos, and dress. These are clearly the stereotypical notions of hip-hop, or rather rap, the iconic mouthpiece of a youth culture that traces itself back to a gentrified 1970s Bronx, New York. The Bronx represented a metropolitan, or what would become a reflection of major urban cities sprawled across the U.S., that nurtured the caustic sociological disorder of an emerging new culture shaped by urban-dwelling youth, whose milestones forecasted what America would become: poor nation living in a rich country, poverty and unemployment fueled by historical foundation in all systems of life. Racism and segregation gave rise to a subculture that arrested itself among the majority of populations in the major U.S. cities to become the most influential basis of culture in modern society. This is known as hip-hop. And this is the culture that shapes the lives of today's youth generation, spawning over the last 4 decades. So how does this change our understanding? First, hip-hop is not rap music. However, rap music is as influential in the life of today's youth as the Bible or gospel is influential in the life of any religious person of any faith or persuasion. But rap music is all about drugs, gangs, violence, and misogyny, right? True. Rap music does depict these in popular mainstream rap music songs identified by hip-hop artists. However, they in no way, shape, or form epitomize hip-hop. Here we apply the correlation versus causation principles. The principle that must be kept in mind whenever studies about popular music and children's behavior are discussed is one known as correlation does not equal causation. Rather, the correlation of hip-hop and youth culture is a dominant factor in our research based on the source of influence among youth in major cities who disproportionately represent the demographics outlined in this chapter. That black and minority youth affected by urban family structure breakdowns, predominantly headed by single-parent female households with high percentages of absent fathers and male role models, with low grade level scores correlating to absent days from classroom instruction, that the combination of these factors indicate where along the line today's youth are being systematically driven on a pipeline that disrupts their education, that ultimately finds them incarcerated in their lifetime as a chronic condition of race and or sociological constructs. I know that's a mouthpiece of information, but it's very, very important that we really, really dig down deep into the science of this, what's going on, because this is an entire system we're dealing with, and it's not in itself very nice, and it hasn't been kosher to young black males and African-American descendants and other minorities in America today. And so we are joined by Jackson Arab Civil Rights Awareness Association here in Jackson that is fighting against the school to prison pipeline. They meet every Wednesday morning downtown South Jackson and Michigan Ave at the church there. And they are fighting endlessly to combat school to prison pipeline. There's another forum coming up December 17th, I believe, that will also deal with some of the effects of the school to prison pipeline, the mental and the health issues of prisoners, and what families can do to support them. Once again, you're listening to Youth Action Radio Network, the voice of today's youth, where we discuss real life issues impacting kids in school. Let's go to a brief song real quick, and we'll come right back in just a moment. From my enemies. Once again, I am your host, Hakeem Crampton. You have been listening to Youth Action Radio Network, the voice of today's youth. We have been discussing the school-to-prison pipeline. And today, I want to thank all of our listeners, all of everybody in our audience here in the studio, Asia Villanueva, Jabbar Ballard. And tune in tomorrow. We'll have our guest, John Brandon, middle school at Parkside teacher, be discussing what really happens in the classroom and how to effectively run a classroom. I'm going to hand this over to Brother Jabbar, who's going to close this out with the Youth Action, Youth Voice hook. So we up out of here, y'all. Tune in tomorrow. Check out Jabbar. Peace.
Youth Voice, Young Outstanding United, teaching history, victory over indictments. The young thinking about cash and who writing. It should be in school, open books, getting excited. Youth Voice, Young Outstanding Youth. History, victory over indictments. The young thinking about cash and who writing. They should be in school, open books, getting excited. Jabbar Ballard.